Let us pray together.
Heavenly Father, thank you for the confidence we can have in our salvation. That our salvation is as sure as your word. It is founded on all your promises. It is as certain as the blood that has purchased it. It is as certain as the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, who is the first part of our inheritance to come. Father, I pray that you would give that strong assurance and peace to every soul that is here. In Jesus' name, amen. Please turn with me to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 1. And again, we'll turn to verse 14. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1 and verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. So one of the biggest challenges that the gospel faces today, where we are, right here, right now, is apathy. A moral, spiritual apathy that pervades much of our society. It's a spiritual malaise that makes people indifferent to the things of God. So many people are so now apathetic about life. They're not really even against Christianity. They're not for it. It's just simply another option that works for some people. Like a brand of soup you can choose at the supermarket. It's nothing to take seriously or get worked up about. It's a moral apathy. Christians are looked down on because we insist on certain standards. And for many, that's narrow and intolerant. For Christians to insist on certain moral standards for how you should live, well, who are we to judge? What's all the fuss about? Live and let live. And this spiritual apathy is part of a wider cultural apathy. Britain is suffering from a crisis of apathy. If you want to understand the people we are trying to minister to, this estate, you need to understand this is the moral challenge we face. There's this widespread general apathy about life and work, because for decades, our culture has taught people to be victims, that not having a job, the breakdown of the family is not their fault. It's not their responsibility. It's just something that's happened to them. And you need to understand that the height of ambition for many people is a nice holiday in the sun with cheap booze. And they're just apathetic about any larger goal or purpose in life. For many young men, the ones we know through the youth club, being able to sit and play video games all day, probably smoking something, that's their highest ambition. And it's this deep malaise, no purpose, no hope, no responsibility. And sadly, it seems like this spirit of apathy has penetrated the Christian church. There's a widespread apathy about holiness. The narrow road of obedience and self-denial has been transformed into an easy downward slope where you can really just go along with the world and Christ makes no demands. Certainly nothing to challenge your personal comforts. And there's a frightening apathy about evangelism, even amongst believers who would be orthodox. There seems to be an apathy about reaching, going out to the lost with the gospel. I don't know why. Perhaps it's fear of how difficult it is. Perhaps it's just our own low spiritual climate. Election may have been misunderstood to quench evangelism. It's okay. God's going to save his people. Rather than motivating us, which is the biblical way. Or maybe we're just sitting back in unbelief. The world's so bad, what can we do? Or I'm too busy with my work and my family. But the message of the Word of God is urgent. The Word of God says to you and to all, follow Christ now. And it is an urgent, all-consuming call. And Christ is calling you now. Give up everything. Do it now. Leave everything behind and come follow Christ. And there is no time for delay. This is the moment of decision. Today, right now, choose Christ. It's a challenge to each one of us individually. You must choose because Christ is calling you. And do it now. And there is nothing more important, nothing on earth matters like responding to the words of Jesus Christ. And it's that urgency that just leaps off the page of our scripture in Mark. Look at the urgency with which the Lord Jesus called people to follow him. Because that is the same spirit with which he is speaking to us. Look at the urgency of his message. He says, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. It's at the door. It's near. It's getting closer. The kingdom of heaven, the new age, it is right here. Are you ready? Isn't that the point, really? One of the main thrust of the point of the parable of the wedding feast. Are you ready? The invitation is here. Look at the urgency with which he called the disciples. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. Can you picture him walking along the seashore? And they're there busy just pulling in their nets, mending their nets. Do it now, he calls. Follow me. Come as you are. I will transform you. But make that first step. Don't delay for any reason. And surely that call today, to follow him like the disciples, doesn't mean someone has to understand everything. It doesn't mean they're going to have everything right in how they're living. It's the start of the journey. But the call is to come immediately follow him. Immediately. Verse 18, it says. And again, verse 20. And notice the wording in verse 20. It says they went after him. It almost makes it sound like John and his brother had to run after him on the shore of the sea. He'd called them as he's walking along, first one boat, then another, and he's not stopping, is he? He's moving on. This is the chance, he says. Now's the time. I'm moving on to the next city. Keep up. Follow me. Do you see it? Do you see the urgency with which Christ says, come follow me now with everything? So his call means they've got to leave their old lives behind. They drop their nets. They walk away from their families. They're willing to change their jobs where they lived. Because his call comes first and has an absolute demand on a disciple's life. And again, it is the same for you. Are you willing to give up everything? Everything to go where he tells you to go? And this is true Christianity. It's not something that you add on to your life as a little addition. It is your life, and it will control everything. How you think and speak, your relationships, whether that's romantic or friendship or family. And it's going to change your work, your money, your time. You cannot have Jesus plus something. It's Jesus only to fill your whole life. And this moment of choice of saying, yes, Lord, is not something you do once, then move on from. Following Jesus is this ongoing journey where at every moment, this is the call and the choice you have to make. Every day. It's not about being baptized once, saying a prayer once, or coming to church once. It is to daily repent and believe. When Christ says here, repent and believe, you see, there's something there in the Greek that's difficult to put into English. It's a continuous tense. It doesn't mean repent and believe, you've done it once, and then you move on. It means repent and keep on doing it. It means believe and keep on doing it. In a sense, every moment is this moment of choice. Every moment of your life, Christ is saying to you, follow me. Here's the next step. Go on repenting. Go on trusting me. So the call is come follow him. There is this kingdom to gain, a new life given. There's a mission to carry out, to be fishers of men. So I say to you tonight with the same urgency that Christ said it. Choose Christ now. Follow me. Let me give you two reasons. His call is so urgent. And first he says, follow me now, because this is the day of God's grace. This is the day of God's grace. Christ says, the time is fulfilled. The time is fulfilled. So what does he mean by that? Well, he certainly means more than just, oh, listen up, I'm here today. This is the opportunity while I'm passing through. He means something much more. He's referring to God's great, worldwide plan of salvation that spans through the centuries. And he's saying that now, today with my coming, now that I've come, this is the special time where God's plan is unfolded and something big is happening. This is the time when Jesus is now here and offering the way to be saved. So the scriptures speak about the Lord having this wise, comprehensive plan for all of history, written before the world was made. God has ordered where nations and peoples will live, Acts 17 verse 26. God has ordered the world into different ages, different time periods, Ephesians 3. And each one of us individually has a place in this great plan. Romans 9, Ephesians 1. This plan was prepared in eternity before the world was made. A plan put in place to save the world, knowing that we would ruin ourselves. And this plan has been slowly revealed, worked out in history, step by step, beginning with even just one little family out in the desert. And through this family of Abraham and his descendants growing to become the people of Israel. And through them, the history of the line of kings. It's an incredible plan that's been complex, that's often been threatened and challenged. The devil's thrown everything at it to thwart it, and yet it's overcome. At times it seemed to hang by a thread, except Almighty God was the one weaving it. And God's working out this great cosmic plan that's going to come to a great fruition in the future, where all things are healed and made one, and creation is made glorious again. And there'll be a new people of God forever singing his praises in heaven. This all has come to a focal point in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything in the centuries before was all preparing for this, so the world could begin to understand. Promises given, covenants made, symbols laid out in the law, all to prepare the way for this Savior who could bring us back to God. And through this amazing plan, God would reveal his glory. God would reveal who he is in his greatness. It's like looking at a masterpiece, a work of art. I am no artist. I don't even begin to know how you begin to sketch out the plans of a painting, how you begin to get the different colours mixed just right, how you have that vision in your eye to somehow create something out of nothing. And yet God has this incredible plan that he has come up with to show his perfect goodness so that he'll be forever praised. And now, says Christ, now the time is fulfilled. Here is God the Son, come in the flesh to save us. And the plan's being carried out. So this is this special, unique day in God's plan. Now this new life's being offered. Now this new world is beginning. Now Christ has done it and died for sin and risen again. And the plan is in this special time when now it's going out to the world and it's the invitations to all. And Christ is freely saying, now is this glorious day of grace. Now salvation is fully, clearly made known like never before. Abraham did not get to see the full picture of this glorious plan in the fullness as we do. And this salvation being offered around the world to all. We should jump for joy that we live here and now. Perhaps sometimes in more silly moments you might think, well, it would have been fun to live in a different time period or to have lived perhaps in Bible times. No, we live in the most glorious time of this day of grace when the time is fulfilled. The needs we've got for salvation are fulfilled. Everything's provided. So this is why there's such urgency in the gospel. This is the special day of grace. And this time, this day of grace, is not going to last forever. Every day eventually ends. God will not offer the new start and forgiveness forever. The door will one day be shut. The bolt will be pulled across. The locks fastened. And so each moment of your life, that time is running out. So how urgently the gospel says, follow Jesus now. Now is the time to get right with God. It is not yet too late. That's the urgency of the gospel. And the second reason why he says, follow Jesus now, is heaven. Is heaven. There is a heaven to gain and a hell to avoid. He says, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's drawing near. It's approaching. It's coming close. It's passing by you. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven, as Matthew's gospel puts it. The glorious realm of heaven. If you follow Christ, he will bring you safely into heaven. The kingdom where God rules, where there is no sin, no rebellion, the perfect land of peace and joy forevermore, the place of God's dwelling. Heaven is real. It's as real as this. It's drawing near. It's right by you, the Lord says. And heaven is what the Lord Jesus promises. That's what you're pursuing. This is what's worth giving up everything for, to follow Jesus. It's so great. Can we begin to imagine what heaven is going to be like for those who are permitted in? Just think of some of the pictures that the Bible gives us of its glory that the Lord speaks about here, this kingdom of heaven. It could be a paradise, a new Eden, fruitful, alive, creation in harmony. It's going to be the fulfillment of creation and the world and mankind. It's going to be a garden with everything beautiful thing in it. It's vibrant and colourful and lush. When you enter heaven, you leave behind the wasteland of this world into a world of perfect comforts and enjoyments. The scriptures use these pictures of cypress trees, flowers, springs and fountains. It's pictured as a royal feast, a giant party, where the victorious king rewards his loyal servants with gifts. It's a banquet with the full abundance of every rich and enjoyable dish to share. A time of laughter, of celebration, of singing and dancing, like a wedding. Be the greatest family reunion you've ever seen. The wiping away of all tears, the rewarding of every good work, even the giving of a cup of cold water to someone in need. It's pictured to be like entering into a throne room, except this is the throne room of the universe from which God governs all things. And there will be thousands upon thousands of angels all dressed in shining light and bowing down in worship. And in heaven, the majesty of the Lord is revealed. The scripture says simply, it will be rest. Just simply rest. A rest from all the evils of this life that just tire us. So it will be a place of continual refreshment and continual renewal. We shall be ever young, ever strong, ever new, a never-ending Sabbath. No weeds or thorns growing to frustrate us. A day of joyful delight in worshipping God. No devil to weary us. No temptations, no sorrows, no sins. So the Lord proclaims, this is what's coming near. And this is the most positive and hopeful message there has ever been. Surely this is worth pursuing. The God will put all things right. We're told to lift up our heads and look forward eagerly. The world is a horrible place. But look what's coming. So this is why it's worth following Jesus now. A choice now that will bless you forever, lead to such happiness. But on the other hand, it also means that hell is also drawing near. For those who will not submit to the Son, the day of his kingdom will be a day of judgment. This is why the gospel is so urgent. He will throw rebels out of his kingdom. He will punish every sin. He will reward everyone for their works. Bad language, unbelief, false worship, sexual immorality, anything that offends the holiness of God will be banished from this kingdom forever. For there is another place prepared, where condemned souls will be banished to suffer alongside the devil. God will no longer be patient, but will show his wrath. And so how does the Bible describe this other place? It's a lake of fire, where victims are burned and consumed eternally. It will be like a continually smoking oven, like the great pit Nebuchadnezzar made to make his bricks into which he threw Daniel's friends. It will be a place of utter horror with no mercy at all. Jesus pictured it this way. He spoke of the rich man who didn't help his poor neighbor, that he was in such torment, he was crying out for help, but he was not allowed even a drop of water to cool his tongue. Now, how literal is that? I don't know. It only tells you the reality must be horrendous. Or hell is pictured being like a burning garbage dump. A deep valley where there's a stench of burning refuse, where wild dogs roam. It's described as being like a bottomless pit in which souls will fall forever into outer darkness. There'll be the sound of teeth gnashing and tears wailing. It's pictured in scripture being like an ancient battlefield after a slaughter, where animals and birds pick at the rotting corpses of the losing side, and that this will go on forever. The worm will not die. The fire will not be quenched. And so surely those pictures tell you that hell is real and more terrible than you think. It's not a joke. It is the terrible fate of everyone who rejects the kingdom of the Son. And so this is the second reason the gospel call is so urgent, and Christ says, follow him now. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to flee. And each moment of your life, you must choose. You must choose tomorrow when you wake up. Will you follow Christ? It is not yet too late to repent and believe, to turn away from all your sin to all that God is, and to believe, to put your trust in Christ, to follow him as Savior and Lord. And in him you'll be given his Holy Spirit to lead you step by step. And how urgent you should be about preaching the gospel to the lost. Is it not time to shake off your apathy as a Christian? Is it not time to be willing to pay the price, to serve and to suffer, to renew your devotion to Christ, to renew your passion to bring others to Christ. Consider the privilege of the time we live in, the day of grace. Consider the joy of heaven and consider the misery of hell. And how can you not urgently call on people to believe in Christ? The gospel is urgent. Follow Jesus Christ now and urgently take this word to men and women. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are sorry for our selfishness and our spiritual apathy, that around us, millions are perishing, who are destroying themselves through their sin. And you have given to us the words of life, the wonderful, glorious message of Jesus Christ the Lord. Lord, we know that we are not mighty or powerful, but your gospel is. And we pray, Lord, for gifts of zeal, that we would urgently go out with the gospel. Lord, deliver us of our sinful apathy and cause us to be zealous as Christ was and is. And we pray, Lord, that you would so empower us that we would see many lost souls saved, brought into your kingdom for your glory, for their salvation forever and ever. Help us, Lord. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.